I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with justice, liberty, and justice for all. Thank you.
Okay, Herb's here. He's coming. There he is. Hi, Herb.
Hi, Herb.
How are you?
Okay, tonight we have actually three sets of minutes to adopt. We had the one set from October 14th, was the joint meeting with the Ways and Means and Capital Projects and our committee. Then we had another joint meeting on the 27th with them pertaining to capital projects. And then obviously the meeting, our regular meeting from November 4th. Has everybody gotten a chance to look at those meetings, minutes? If so, does anybody have any questions or comments or deletions that they would like to make?
I was going to offer to make a motion to adopt the three sets of minutes.
Okay, motion made by Legislator Green. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Seconded by Legislator Litz. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Motion carried. Okay, tonight we have Gary Newkirk with us from the Fairgrounds and Ag Society, and we also have Ernie Hunt, who is in charge of the Catskill Mountain Railroad. They each have a resolution that pertains to their area of business. So not to hold these two gentlemen up, I would like to take those two resolutions first. The first one would be resolution 447, and it states, authorizing the chair of the Ulster County Legislature to execute a license agreement with the Ulster County Agricultural Society Incorporating, granting it the use of the Ulster County Fairgrounds, Department of Public Works, Buildings and Grounds.
I'll move it.
Motion made by Legislator Litz, seconded by Legislator Hebner. Before we vote, Gary, anything would you like to say?
No. We're a little disappointed in the resolution from what we thought we were going to be able to get. But after 3 years of waiting, 1 year extensions, we're kind of back where we were in 2007. We did at least get a statement in there that they consider renewing the license agreement in our September meeting that we're now scheduled. But
so this is a 5-year agreement.
Yes.
And so you're saying that you're not really happy with this agreement. Can you elaborate to me just a little bit why you're not happy about it? Because I didn't sit in on the negotiations briefly. Just
very quickly, we had two 5-year agreements, and we've been asking forever for a rolling 5-year agreement so we'd have a little bit more security and a little bit more justification for investing the capital money that we are in the fairgrounds. And 3 years ago, we were told we couldn't get a 5-year license agreement. They only gave us a 1-year extension because they wanted a time, the year, to work on a way to get us a longer term agreement. 2 years ago, we were told we were only going to get a 1-year extension so that they could have time to come up with a longer term agreement. Last year, we were told we were only going to get a 1-year extension so that they could come up with a longer term for us. This year, we had a dedicated committee. A lot of work was done when we finally got back, but basically we're back to just a 5-year agreement with no provision to go longer.
You've never had an agreement past 5 years, is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. All righty.
Dean, if I could speak real quick.
Sure, Mark, go ahead.
So I just want to acknowledge Jenny Lang, who's here as a first time new president of the Ag Society. And I know John Fitzpatrick isn't here, but acknowledge the work that he has done up until this point. And he is the outgoing president. And so I want to thank both of them on the work and the rest of the committee. I think we've done a great job in this working group to not maybe get anything that's perfect for both sides, but something that was agreeable to everybody. So while right. I acknowledge what Gary had to say, I do think this is a much improved license agreement and am happy with the product.
So. They understand that a lot of hard work went into it, which is always good. All right. On the resolution, all in favor?
Wait a minute, Dean. You got a couple of hands up. You got Tracy Bartels and Jonathan Hapter.
I'm sorry, I did not see him. Go ahead, Tracy.
Thank you, Chair Fabiano. Yes, I Mark stole my words. I wanted to acknowledge and congratulate Jenny as well and thank John for all his hard work. And I also wanted to say, you know, we did put a lot of hard work into it and not, you know, it's not perfect all around, but we were attempting to address issues beyond just the term of the contract. And the, you know, that while the term of the contract I respect, it, you know, is a source of concern for the Ag Society. We made a commitment that on an annual basis, we'll be actually staying in contact. And at that meeting, we can recommend to the legislature to re-up the five-year agreement that year. So it would in effect be a rolling agreement. It's just, we don't have a precedent for a rolling agreement and the county attorney wasn't comfortable with it. But in effect, all the legislators in that working committee, which is a bipartisan committee, Legislator Litz sat on it, sitting here now, that all the legislators in that committee agreed to that in concept, that on an annual basis, we'll be meeting, addressing any concerns that either side has, and hopefully moving the legislature to approve a new five-year agreement on an annual basis through amendment. So it's a workaround to the
right.
Attorney's concern, but we are trying to address that. We understand the challenges that the Ag Society faces with shorter term agreement. But again, I just want to say that and agree with Deputy Executive Ryder that it is a better contract. We were able to address some of the concerns that the Ag Society had in terms of definitions that were vague in terms of responsibility and some of the concerns that the county had. And then also the working group was able to look at it and provide input as well. So I'm very glad that the Ag Society gets a five-year agreement and that we'll be meeting on an annual basis, hopefully to make it an ongoing five-year agreement.
Now, Legislator Bartels, like I said, I got a copy of the agreement today. I haven't gotten a chance to look at it. Now, in this agreement, there's nothing there that interferes or interrupts for what the Ag Society has been doing in the past years, such as the fair. There's no interference with any of that. That will be business as usual.
No, yes, that's correct. And it was my understanding until hearing Mr. Newkirk today that the Ag Society was happy with it and our county attorneys were happy with it. And when I say happy, I use that loosely. The correspondence from John, the outgoing president, the correspondent right. said that we didn't need to have another meeting, that they right. were satisfied and our attorneys were satisfied, which is why it's before you today. Given the holidays and the budget cycle, we attempted to right. have another working group meeting, but I was concerned. I'm the one who put it in because I was concerned that if we didn't get it in, we'd end the right. year without a contract. So I wanted to make sure that before the end of the year, the Ag Society and the county had a, had this 5-year agreement in place.
Very good. Legislator Heppner.
Yes, thank you. First, I just want to commend all parties involved in the working group, for, a step forward in progress. And so I just wanted to confirm, I think Legislator Bartels actually answered most of my questions. So, and per Mr. Newkirk's comments, that, kind of regathering would be in September of next year. And then kind of that's the annual, kind of regathering and looking over things again. Is that what he was referring to?
Yes.
All right, thank you.
Anyone else have any questions or comments?
Hey, Legislator Cahill.
Yeah. I guess you can't see us, huh, Dean? Yeah. So, Mr. Newkirk, good to see you again. I remember my last time around, we had some activity with the fairground. So how long has the Ag Society been running the fairground for Ulster County at this point?
Over 50 years.
Right, so in 50 years, and they've always tried to do that. Well, they haven't tried to. They have done it with a 5-year agreement each time or lesser agreements over those course of those years, right?
We started out basically initially with a 5-year agreement, and we ran, I think, 2 or 3 5-year terms. But then everyone kind of recognized that the 5-year, we keep asking for a rolling 5-year. We know right. that's not possible at this point.
So now,
the thing that was frustrating was the last 3 years, they would only give us a 1-year agreement.
Right. Okay.
So, with the excuse that we were going to try to get some kind of a longer term deal. That's all.
Right. So what's the major deterrent to a fixed 5-year term versus the rolling 5-year term? What are the major issues there? I mean, considering the length of the agreement and the relationship that the Ag Society has had with Ulster County over a half a century, I think it's a pretty solid relationship that I think we can both count on each other for the longer term here. So I'm just wondering what the issue is between a rolling 5-year and a 5-year.
The big deal is that, starting January 1, we'll be in good shape for a few years. But when you get out to about the third year, we have to seriously look at why would we want to invest in any more money in the fairgrounds for capital improvements, whatever, only knowing we had 2 years left in our license agreement. And we also have to make commitments to all of our outside events. They're looking for 1 year, 2 year, at least, guarantee that they can get the fairgrounds. So after about the third year into a 5-year contract, we're kind of got our hands tied. And to be honest with you, from business people, we should be shot for investing money in grounds that we have no guarantee that we're going to have. At least with a rolling 5-year, you could always have at least, 4 years to know that you're able to keep working.
Thank you.
Anyone else?
Manna Joe is next.
Go ahead, Manna Joe.
If this is a response to Gary Newkirk, maybe Tracy should go, because what I'm going to ask is a slight change of topic. It's still related to Ag, the Ag Society. Tracy, did you want to respond?
I did, but I don't know if Legislator Litz did too. Legislator Litz, your hand was up also. No?
I just wanted to make some explanation to Legislator Cahill. And Gary did an excellent job.
Okay.
To run a business, you need some of their commitments to their vendors, especially the ones that's, for the fair. Those vendors have other places to go. So if you can't guarantee them next year or the year after, they're going to make agreements with Buffalo or Syracuse or somewhere else, and then you don't have much of a fair. So I can understand the frustration of the Ag Society. I'm hoping that come our September meetings, we can put a resolution in and extend it for 5 years and then extend it for 5 years. So it turns out to be similar to a rolling 5-year agreement. so that they're not stuck in the quandary of what happens in year four and what happens in year five. Sorry, that's all I had was that explanation.
Tracy, did you want to speak again?
I did. I'm sorry, my phone is ringing in the background and I can't turn it off without hanging up on it, so hopefully it won't be too irritating. I think Herb addressed that, but and I think Herb's sentiment reflects the sentiment of those people working on the committee, which is a sensitivity to the importance of a longer term agreement for the Ag Society. And therefore, I have confidence that when we meet on an annual basis, that's what we'll be discussing. We'll be discussing, you know, any issues that have arisen and extending the contract for that reason on an annualized basis. It's just that there isn't, our county attorney wasn't comfortable with the so-called rolling 5 year, which is essentially an indefinite contract, but we're gonna be meeting on a regular basis. And to just look back, it's very unfortunate that we've had these 3 years of 1 year agreements, and they started in part due to the previous administration and a disconnect that was happening. And that's the other thing I think that we're gonna solve with this annual meeting, because the legislature is also committed to being more directly involved. So it's not gonna be something that can get away from us entirely. We're gonna have a seat at the table with the executives, people, and the Ag Society in order to keep a healthy line of communication open. And I'm confident through the leadership in the Ag Society, through Gary and Jenny, and all those involved and the passion of all those people, that we're all gonna be moving forward in the same direction. I think we all have a real appreciation for what the Ag Society does and has created at that space.
Manajo?
I see Laura is probably wanting to speak directly to this, but I just wanna remind folks that early on in these conversations, an issue came up in the Climate Smart Committee, and we asked to, as part of these negotiations, to have an opportunity to meet about increased waste diversion, you know, on-site composting, and other climate solutions that could be modeled at that site and at the events that take place there. And so I want to bring that back up again. One way or another, it seems like we're coming to a conclusion that people can live with and work with annually. But I don't want that request to get lost. And Jenny, if you could sort of make note of that. There are a few people from the Climate Smart Committee, and I expect that maybe Legislator Bartels and Legislator Petit might want to join us, but that was a request, and the meetings were ongoing and focused on the need to resolve the overall agreement, but I think there's opportunity there, so I wanted to bookmark that.
Laura?
Thank you. Just to, add on to what Mana Joe said, Tracy and I were on that subcommittee, and we did put recycling into the contract. So there's that. I'm just a little confused. I had received an email that the outgoing director and the incoming director had spoken to council and they were okay with the contract. I do agree with Legislator Litz. If we put in the rolling 5 years, there is an out clause. So it's as with any other contract, if we're very unhappy with any of the, the events or any programs that are going on or aren't going on, the legislature and the county executive have that option to terminate the contract. I'm very sympathetic to the concerns by the Ag Society, because they have put a great deal of money into it. And it would be like any triple net lease. I mean, if you're investing in the capital, you want to make sure that you have a long-term commitment from, you know, the person that you're leasing it from. You know, going back 30 or 40 years, that was just a little tiny rinky-dink county fair with really no buildings. And it's an amazing several facilities right now. So I don't know how you'd like to proceed, but again, I wanted to question, because I thought everyone was okay with the contract. And, you know, could we put those 5-year rolling? And if there's an issue, then we'll terminate the contract.
If I could just weigh in, because I've asked the county attorney to weigh in, and he's not comfortable with the rolling 5-year. I mean, tonight you have another vendor of the county who I'm sure would love a rolling 5-year agreement and is looking at a 1-year extension. In the past, if a lease was longer than 5 years, the county needed to be surplused over to an LDC like the IDA, and then a longer term agreement was done. I don't know if there's the will of this body to do that, but that is the other option besides a regular 5-year agreement.
Dean, it's Tracy. Can I weigh in here too?
Absolutely, Trace, go ahead.
So I just wanna read an excerpt from the contract, because again, it was my understanding too, since John Fitzpatrick was copied, and Gary and Jenny, everyone was copied on this email where John said that they're agreeable to the changes and they would accept the changes. But when I say that that we are going to at the annual meeting, you know, that there's a commitment from the legislature, it's a commitment in the contract. The contract reads, among the subjects to be discussed at the annual meeting is whether the license agreement should be amended subject to the provisions of paragraph 2B above to provide for the renewal of the 5-year term. So we're contractually obligated annually to discuss the renewal annually, meaning that if everything is in agreeable and in good form, we would be renewing annually. So effectively, we are going to be doing a rolling 5-year lease. It's just our county attorney's not comfortable with contracting with a rolling 5-year lease. But we've met in the middle in terms of putting it actually into the contract, saying that we are going to discuss it and consider renewing on an annual basis. And Dean, if I could add, I worry that if we delay, this is it. This is what we need to do to get it to the floor for December. So it just concerns me that if we delay, we're out this year, which I wouldn't want to do to the Ag Society in any way, shape, or form.
I agree, exactly. All right, any other questions or comments?
Gary's got his hand up.
Yeah.
Oh, go ahead, Gary.
I'm sorry I've got everybody into this. I mean, I've been doing this 30 some years and the frustration has just got to me. And in fact, you'll notice I turned it over to John and Jenny to do a lot of the negotiations, because I just can't go through it anymore. But it's frustration coming out on my part. I do want to admit the clause that we finally got in there, but I also want to clarify that went in last week or the week before, and it took our lawyer talking to the county's attorney even to get that clause in there that we would discuss the possibility in our September meeting. The fact that that's in there now and it's part of the agenda of that meeting at least makes me feel comfortable, because I'm sorry, you people change every year. There's different faces on the screen, and September rolls around, people may come in and not know anything about the agreement and the fact that we're going to discuss that. So the fact that that's in there now and the contract, and like I say, it just went in last week, it makes me feel a lot better. And I suggest we just move forward at this point.
Okay, so on the resolution, all in favor?
Aye.
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 All opposed? Motion carried. Thank you, Gary, for taking the time to come.
Okay, well, thank you, guys. I don't see everybody. Have a very, very happy holiday season, and I look forward to another 50 years working with you folks.
God bless you. Take care, Gary.
Thank you.
Alrighty, guys. Bye-bye.
I just want to pop in and say thank you and happy holidays.
Happy holidays to all.
All right. The next resolution pertains to the Catskill Mountain Railroad. Ernie Hunt is with us tonight, and it's resolution number 462, approving the execution of a contract anticipated to exceed $50,000 entered into by the County Catskill Mountain Railroad Company Incorporated, Department of Public Works. Any discussion? Ernie?
I'll move it.
Second.
Motion made by Legislator Litz, seconded by Legislator Green for discussion. Ernie, did you want to go first?
I'll just be happy to speak. Obviously, you know, we would love to have a longer contract, but we know that the track committee is reviewing this issue and the length of the track that we operate on. And we know that's going to be a discussion that we'll be having next year. So we're fine to move forward with the contract as is. We look forward to discussing a longer contract next year and potentially a more length of track. Thank you.
I read the letter that you sent to Tom Jackson earlier today, and despite the COVID-19 crisis, things went pretty well.
Yes, sir. We've done amazingly well. We have 6 flat cars that we're operating at 30% capacity, 84 people per train, and a lot of our trains have been full. I mean, as full as they can be.
So very good.
We've done very well.
Anybody else have any comments or questions? If not, I'll ask for a motion to move the resolution.
So moved.
I believe.
Motion made by Legislator Litz.
Legislator Fabiano, I believe County Executive Deputy Executive Milgram had his hand up.
Oh, I'm sorry. See, I can't, for some reason, I can't see that on my screen. I apologize. Go ahead, John.
I thank you so much. I just wanted to let you know I was here. I have been working with Matt and Ernie to come up with this contract extension. There were a few kind of minor changes I assume everyone's fairly familiar with regarding just the insurance level and the second payment next year, considering whether COVID is still going to be here or not, but anticipating that. They have done a nice job pivoting, keeping these open air cars operating, which is appreciated. And I have seen the trains moving with groups on them that are spaced nicely. So, you know, I'm hoping they can get as much out of the season as possible before it's just not, you know, temperate enough to keep running. But if anyone had any questions, I just wanted you to know that I was here, and that was it. So.
Okay, so we have a motion by Legislator Litz. Do I have a second?
Yes, second.
Seconded by Legislator Green. All in favor on the resolution?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All opposed? Motion carried. Okay, thank you, Ernie, for coming.
Thank you all very much, and please have a happy holiday.
And you happy holiday, Ernie.
And if you want to ride a train, come on by.
Take care.
Okay. Okay, now we'll go back to the order of the resolutions. Resolution number 446, authorizing the chair of the Ulster County Legislature to amend an agreement with the New York State Unified Court System, Department of Public Works, Buildings and Grounds. This is a 1-year.
Moved.
Motion second. Made by Legislator Litz, seconded by Legislator Green. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Motion carried. Resolution number 449, amending capital project number 519, Ulster County Law Enforcement Center energy upgrades, amending the 2020 capital fund budget, Department of Public Works, Buildings and Grounds. We just passed this in law enforcement and public safety. I'll move this.
I'll second.
Seconded by legislator Heppner. All in favor?
Mark Ryder had his hand up.
Oh, I'm sorry, Mark. Go ahead.
I don't need to speak upon it. I don't want to delay the vote. So,
well, I'd like to hear what the improvements are going to be.
Yeah, sure. This is, and it's, I believe in the backup, but these are design services for the replacement of the boilers. It's approximately $49,000 with a $5,000 contingency, bringing the total project up to $685,000.
That is not.
And this was done just as a background, and why Amanda's here. We did a FlexTech energy study to evaluate the best, you know, fuel sources for this facility, and it was determined that this was the best way to go at this time.
Who did that study?
Nice, NYPA or NYSERDA? Amanda, are you on, or Evelyn, maybe you could.
Sorry. That study was partially funded through the FlexTech program with NYSERDA. It was GPI and LNS who did the actual energy master plan study.
Thank you.
I would like to make a comment, and I know that Legislator Bruno and others had some concerns about cost in energy and environment. But, I trust that this was the best conclusion that we could have come up with at the time. But to me, this is like an addict who says, I'll get clean tomorrow, next week. And, that's how I feel about it. I believe I made sort of a protest vote last time. But I think we have to stop saying we're going to fix things tomorrow. And I was very pleased to hear in energy and environment that all future projects, you know, this was a project built kind of right at the cusp where people were not quite convinced that we were in a climate crisis. That is the jail itself, the law enforcement center. We were clear about the climate crisis when this decision was made, and it was made on a practical basis. And in this year of COVID, we're being more practical. We have to be more practical than ever. But I was really glad to hear that moving forward, that climate considerations, that sustainability considerations will be taken into account for all projects moving forward. And I really do appreciate that. And I want to acknowledge that because we just can't afford not to. But there were some real financial questions too. I know that Legislator Bruno and others had.
Legislator Bruno had senior. Do you have any questions?
Questions / comments. And thank you, Manager Joe. My concerns is, like, they kind of mirror Manager Joe's. I understand we want to do the best that we can for the county, for the environment, with the technology available today. The question I asked her in energy environment, whether this project was being done because it was a needed project, because the boilers there are no longer working and we have a possibility of running into a no heat situation, or whether they're just being done as a wish list item. I was told that it's a serviceability issue. That being said, I also know I was concerned that this additional $50,000 is being added to a budget that was already laid out under 449. Under the Schedule A, it pretty much laid out what was going to be done. The boilers are going to be replaced with modulating condensing gas boilers, and they were the most energy efficient at this time for this project. My concern is seeing that $49,000 and then today reading the other resolutions that are before this committee tonight, which is Resolution 451, which is asking for $57,401 for a service contract with Ashley Mechanical, who does excellent work. I've worked with them in the past for service work on the old system through the years to 2022. There's also a resolution 464 for an execution of a contract of $75,200 for Eastern Heating and Cooling for control work for the HVAC system for the new system. To me, it seems like this job is being done piecemeal, and I don't think it's being done, for lack of better way of putting it, it sounds like they know what the number is going to be, but they don't want to put it all out there because it's extremely expensive. So they're going to do it in little pieces, and little piece at a time, it's not so bad. But if you put it all together, this thing should be going out to public bid.
Right.
And that's
this is public concern. Bid. I just want to clarify that these were bid contracts
separately. But my question is, why wasn't all of these things, this the serviceability, the gas lines, the new boilers, the design work, the maintenance of it, and the controls to make it all work? Because you without the controls, it doesn't work. All put in on one number, so we can get a real honest number of what this system is going to cost us.
I'll let Dom speak to that, but I mean, you have different firms that specialize in different things, but go ahead.
And that's Dom. Called subcontractors.
Yeah. You made a good point.
If I could just say that under procurement guidelines, we can't do design build contracts. So there has to be a design firm, an engineering design firm, to design. And then it's not just producing drawings. The full scope of this contract with this engineering company includes construction management, construction inspection, holding construction meetings, reviewing submissions from the contractor that does the work. But they have to be separate entities. They can't be under one contract. And I would just say this, Mr. Legislator Bruno, we have to come to the legislature incrementally because we don't know what the full costs are up front. Until we have the design for the installation of these boilers, we won't have the bid specs. Once we have the bid specs and we put it out to bid, then we'll have an actual number to come to the legislature to approve. As an amendment to the capital project. Meanwhile, in the capital plan, we try to accommodate what we anticipate the costs might be, but they're not actual costs. So we do come back to the legislature repeatedly, but that's by design.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And if I may, Chairman Fabiano.
Go ahead, Al.
Then it seems to me that the first thing that should be in front of us, and the only thing that should be in front of us at this point, should be the design. Not the gas work, not the service work, not the control work. None of that should even be on the table until after it's designed. It's like putting the cart before the horse. I agree with you. I understand that, what you're saying. But so why are we laying money out for stuff that we don't even know what's going to cost us yet? We're just throwing in the air until it sticks.
The Ashley Mechanical contract expires at the end of this year, and we don't see those boilers getting replaced until sometime in 2021. So they have to continue to be operated. And that's what Ashley Mechanical does. They do a very good job of that.
And even when we have our new boilers, we're still going to need a maintenance contract to maintain them. Yeah, so this is one of our general preventive maintenance contracts we had during the year that doesn't get paid out of the capital program, but instead gets paid out of our operating budget. It's a rolling contract for us. And that's also part of the reason why it got bid separately, because it's not a part of the capital project itself.
I can tell you that the difference between Cleaver Brooks, massive Cleaver Brooks oil-fired boilers and modulating condensing gas boilers are completely like apples and oranges. They're totally two different items. They're totally two different services, and there should be totally two different service numbers on those from Ashley. So I understand you have to maintain this plant as long as it's operating, to keep it operating until we can get the new ones in. That I get. But if you say it's going to be there till the end of 2021, that's 1 year. It almost makes sense to have almost a T&M job on this. Not that you can really do that because it would leave themselves wide open. But I'm just concerned that there's so many layers that we don't, and like you yourself said, Mr. Jackson, that we don't know what the costs are going to be yet. But yet before us are resolutions asking us to approve costs. I have an issue with that. I'm sorry. That's just personal opinion from my professional experience. And just so anybody who isn't aware, I come from the heating business. I've been in the heating and air conditioning business all my life. I work for buildings, you know, which is upwards around 16,000 square feet. Oh, I'm sorry, 1.6 million square feet. Excuse me. we have two boiler plants and massive things that we're constantly on the docket for replacing and repairing. So I'm not talking from inexperience, and that's why I'm concerned with this. I see how these projects can get out of control very quickly.
Dean, Legislator Hepner.
Go ahead, Legislator Hepner.
Thank you. So I remember when this process started with the Jair boilers, and I remember, you know, we were waiting on the spec study. I'm just curious, I'm not sure if this was discussed in energy and environment, but can you remind me, because I remember, so the installation of the gas, that was covered, correct?
So
because it just so happened, we were fortunate.
That was, Central Hudson was already laying gas lines along the road.
Yeah, I remember that.
And it was most cost effective for us to do it at that time. We saved a lot of money doing it. And that was a prior amount, 242,000 resolution 203 back in 2019.
Okay, and so, and what is the status of the contract for the fuel now?
For natural gas?
With this new system? Yeah.
We are running on natural gas currently at the jail.
Yeah, can you remind me what the stat is, that contract yearly? How does that contract work in terms of?
I'd have to look that one up for you. I know it's an as needed basis. They may turn back the amount we get if a hospital decides they need more. That's why we always.
Because I remember it wasn't.
I think Amanda could address that, Don.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll jump in. It is an interruptible rate. That was part of the reason why we paid to have the gas line extended. If we had negotiated an uninterruptible service, Central Hudson would have covered the cost of that extension. However, it was important for us not to be locked in long-term to gas only at that facility.
I remember that. So that's what I was asking.
I remember that.
I knew there was something that was, we would decide in terms of being locked in or not. Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you.
Anybody else? Okay. On the resolution, all in favor? All opposed?
Mr. Chairman, I'll be abstaining.
Okay, abstention from Legislator Litz. All in favor? All opposed? I what? You're in favor or opposed?
I'm in favor.
I'm in favor.
Okay. Legislator Cahill, are you in favor?
Yes, sir. Aye.
Okay. Manager?
Muted.
Manager.
Unmute yourself, Mana.
Boy, oh boy, I'm telling you.
Thank you. Yes, reluctantly, LB and I.
And I'm a yes. Motion carried. Resolution number 451, approving the execution of a contract for $57,401 entered into the county, Ashley Mechanical Incorporated, Department of Public Works.
I'll move it.
I'll second.
Motion made by Legislator Cahill, seconded by Legislator Heppner. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All opposed? Motion carried. Resolution number 452, amending the 2020-2025 capital improvement program establishing capital project number 577, McKeister Bridge, Town of Gardner, amending the 2020 capital fund budget, Department of Public Works.
I'll move it.
Motion made by Legislator Litz.
I'll second.
Seconded by Legislator Cahill. All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carried. Resolution number 454, approving the execution of a contract for $113,000 entered into by the County Creighton Manning Engineering LLP, Department of Public Works.
No more. Motion
made by Legislator Litz.
I'll second.
Seconded by Legislator Heppner. All in favor? Aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed? Motion carried. Resolution number 461, approving the execution of a contract amendment for $19,150, causing the aggregate contract plus amendment amount to be the excess of $50,000 entered into the county, Miller Environmental Group Incorporated, Department of Public Works. This is for increased funding for cleaning and maintenance of oil water separators.
I'll move.
Motion made by Legislator Heppner, seconded by Legislator Fabiano. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carried. Resolution number 463, approving the execution of a contract for $213,500.76 entered into by the County Waste and Recycling Service Incorporated, Department of Public Works.
I'll move it.
Motion made by Legislator Litz.
I'll second, and I have a question.
Seconded by Legislator Cahill. Legislator, what's your question?
Tom, Commissioner Jackson, what is that for? What is County Waste taking away from the county?
They do all the refuse removal, and they cart it to the Resource Recovery Agency.
So that's for all county business, all county buildings?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
This contract was held previously by rail carting.
Yeah.
So it's we contract this out every year. It's not a specialty thing.
No, nope, gotcha. Thank you.
But this company got the bid this time
Thank
around.
You.
I have a question also.
Legislator Green, go ahead.
Thank you. It just, I think I asked this a year ago or so, but it's about whether or not we're participating in dual stream recycling. That question came up. The agency is no longer accepting single stream. And I know that it is source separated in the buildings, but there was a period of time where I think probably the previous Carter was not keeping it separated.
So this contract requires dual stream.
Thank you.
On the resolution, all in favor?
Al Bruno's got his.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Al.
Thank you, Chairman Fabiano. I know this is probably a question coming out of ignorance, so I apologize ahead of time. But is there any reason why the Ulster County Resource Recovery Agency isn't just trucking this stuff themselves so we can save the contract? I mean, why can't we just haul it ourselves? Why are we spending all this money?
So the RRA would charge, they charge tipping fee, they charge municipalities when they go to their transfer stations fees. I mean, it would not be free because it's not an agency that we per se control. It's an independent agency.
You understand my misgivings on that, right?
Al, I think they pick up from like 40 or 60 different buildings.
Yeah, RRA doesn't do refuse collection, do they?
Okay.
No.
No.
Okay. I just see it seems odd that we have an agency within the county and under the control of the county per se, and then we're contracting it out to a third party. It seems interesting as a government that we would do that. It almost makes sense that the amount of money we spend on this is to buy our own garbage truck and pay somebody to do it. You know, put somebody on our payroll to haul our garbage. Sorry, I'm just thinking, you know, in a common sense way.
I just want to point out one thing that this is a 3-year contract. This is not a 1-year contract. This was bid recently, and the last time it was bid was 2014. So the amount is actually for 3 years.
Okay, that's a little different.
Okay, on the resolution, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Motion carried. And the last resolution we have for tonight is resolution number 464, approving the execution of a contract for $75,200 entered into by the County Eastern Heating and Cooling Incorporated Department of Public Works. I think we just discussed this.
I'll move it.
Motion made by Legislator Heppner.
Second.
Seconded by Legislator Green. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed?
I have to abstain, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Legislator Litz has to abstain. Motion, a resolution is adopted. Anybody have any old business that they would like to discuss?
I would.
Go ahead, Legislator Green.
This is a question that's come up recently relating to the zero waste implementation plan, which is moving along really well. And it has to do with the question of crumb rubber. It seems to me years ago, actually, I remember when Congressman Hinchy was Assemblyman Hinchy, he brought forward a bill promoting crumb rubber in New York. And there was several years where that seemed very popular, and the state the Department of Transportation had specifications, and they even had some statistics to show that it was beneficial on the kind of windy and hilly country roads that we have a lot of. And then I recall that as we started to do more recycling of asphalt in place, that you couldn't do that if it was crumb rubber. And I just wanted to, with Tom Jackson and others here who might know, I wanted to double check about that so I could bring the right information back to that zero waste implementation plan.
Tom?
Herb has his hand up. He probably knows more about this than I do.
Go ahead. Go ahead,
Herb. All right. As a young fellow, I wrote the specification for the Department of Transportation utilizing recycled crumb rubber in our pavements. And not only pavements, we used it in embankments. We layered it in embankments. Interchange 17 down in Newburgh has crumb rubber. It came from Saugerties, by the way, the dump.
Yeah.
They developed issues and problems. Running crumb rubber or the recycled rubber through the asphalt plant gums it up and creates issues for them. So they had to decrease the amount that they put in. They were having some issues with lay down and fatigue over a period of time. And then in the embankments, if you put it in too thick or you have free water and with the steel belts in the tires, it actually instantaneously combusts. And there is a fire in Maine in a rubber tire embankment that started, I believe, in 1989, and it's still burning and will continue to burn for a number of years, if not 100 years. So there's been some issues with using chrome rubber. The other issue is there was a plant in Hudson that was utilizing, they chipped the rubber and then they ran it through liquid nitrogen so they could separate it all out into small prills. And they were making, parking lot bumpers and a whole bunch of other things out there, making park benches out of it. The only thing is it's very cost prohibitive. That process is very costly. When the federal government and the state government were giving them grant money to do it, it was worth their while, but once that money dried up, it became too expensive to produce those products. So the plant went out of business. Anyway, that's the short and the long of chrome rubber.
Anybody else? You. Any old business? Okay, under new business, Mr. Jackson, I only have one thing. In my legislative district, I've been receiving a few phone calls and a few complaints in the area of 637 Kings Highway near the Mount Marion Cemetery. There's a quite large dead tree on the shoulder of the road, and it's starting to drop branches, quite large branches sometimes, into the road, and they're fearful that a car or a truck might get hit. I went and checked it out. They have a ribbon around the tree to identify it, and the tree is dead as a doornail. So if they could take a look at that and see, you know, if they get some time that maybe they can trim it down or just take it down.
Sure, of course. Dean, would you mind shooting me an email with a copy to Mark, a copy to Brendan, just going on record with this, and we'll certainly take care of it.
Okay.
Okay.
To you and to Brendan?
And a copy to Mark, so he's aware of the request. But yes.
Mark Ryder.
Yes, Mark Ryder.
Okay. Okay. No problem.
You said 636 what road?
637 Kings Highway.
Okay. All right.
It's right by the Mount Marion Cemetery. It's right on the edge, and the tree is like, I don't know, maybe a foot, 2 feet off the white line, and it's quite large, and it's dead. But I'll send you an email.
Do that, and I'll talk to Brendan first thing in the morning, and he'll send somebody out to take a look at it, probably Jonathan Kraft, who's the section supervisor there. We'll get a quick look at it and assess it. And shoot me an email, I'll get back to you and keep you posted with what we intend to do and when we're going to do it, okay?
Okay, thank you so much. Yeah.
And when it's done, okay?
Yeah.
Thanks, Dean.
Anybody else have anything?
I'll make a motion for adjournment, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, Legislator Litz makes a motion to adjourn. Do I have a second?
Second.
Seconded by Manager Joe Green. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Motion carried. Everybody have a good night, and we will see you soon. Thank you.
Be safe and stay healthy. Take care.
Yes, be good.